James chapter 4, and let us pray. Father, we thank you as we approach your word this morning. We do so reverently. We do so with hunger for the truth. For we know that as your church, we are a people that ought to be sanctified, set apart by the truth, which is your word. We are not to be like everyone else in this world. You said we should not be conformed to the world, but we should be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we thank you for what the Holy Spirit will show us in the Holy Scriptures this morning to transform our minds and change us from inside out, making us more like Christ in all our ways. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, for teaching us and guiding us into all truth here today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, Amen. Praise God. James chapter 4, let us read together from verse 1 to 3. Let's go. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Amen and amen. Very short passage, but full of truth that will change every one of us if we apply our hearts to understand what the Spirit is saying to us here today. The very first verse begins with a question. In other words, James, by the Holy Spirit, is challenging the church to do a self-examination, so to say, challenging each one of us to examine ourselves and to find out whether we are really walking the way we ought to be walking, because there are things that are in us that we often don't pay attention to. And those are the things that trip us up. Those are the things that the enemy uses to entrap us without us knowing. You see, Bible says we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. God wants us to know the truth so that we may be free. You see, Jesus in John chapter 8, where it said that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you read further down, because most of the time we just quote those two verses, verses 31 and 32, but then we should read it in context and read it on to verse 44, and then we will understand why we need to know the truth. Because in verse 44, the Bible says right there that the devil is a liar and is the father of lies. So if we don't know the truth, then the devil can get us to believe a lie. And if the devil gets me to believe a lie, he will rob me of what God wants me to have. Because he has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. You see, the devil cannot just pounce on any of us. He has no power or authority to just pounce on anybody, particularly if you're a Christian. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Say to your neighbor, it is you that gives place to the devil. He can't just take the place by force. You see, if you don't give place to the devil, then he has no place. Remember, Jesus himself said, before he finally left this earth, towards the end of his ministry, he said at one point, he said, the prince of this world cometh, but he has nothing in me. Nothing in me. Nothing in me. In other words, the devil has nothing in me. No place in me. That was why Jesus actually was the one that gave up the ghost on the cross. The devil didn't kill him. No. Jesus laid down his life and then he picked it up again. Isn't that wonderful? The devil could not kill Jesus because even Jesus said, well, many times I was with you in the temple. You couldn't kill me. There was a time they tried to push him off the cliff. They couldn't kill him. But when the time finally came, he said, well, your hour has come. In other words, this is the time. Because I'm going to lay down my life and the hour of darkness is going to come. But then the darkness will be turned around again into light. And in the process, the prince of darkness will be defeated forever. So that victory will become the portion of those that follow Christ. Now that we are in victory, the devil knows he does not have authority over us. And he knows that the only way he can catch us is to get us to, of our own volition, violate the word of God. That's why we can't blame the devil for anything. If you've been blaming the devil, you better stop blaming him. You begin to check yourself and examine yourself, as Bible says, whether I'm really in the faith. Am I walking in obedience to the word of God? Because the devil is the spirit of disobedience. If I'm not obeying the word of God in any area of my life, it is me that has left the door open for the devil to come in. So if I turn around and start obeying God in that area, the door will be shut in the devil's face and he will not have any place anymore. You know, we always find the easy way out. We want to blame the devil, blame one another, blame the government, blame the neighbor, blame everybody, but never blame ourselves. How many people know that that's the way many of us walk? And that's the way of the flesh. Because Jesus said that, why are you beholding the speck that is in your brother's eyes and you can't even see the log in your own? In other words, your own problem is bigger than the person you are judging. But we are quick to judge others. Ah, look at that person. Ah, look at that person. Oh, look at that person. And we feel we have the right to judge somebody else. You don't have any right to judge anybody. Even Jesus said, I judge no man. So when you begin to find yourself judging somebody, just know you're falling into the trap of the devil. And the devil is going to rob you at that point because you are violating the word of God. Bible says there's only one judge. And that's God. The only thing we should judge as Christians is to judge ourselves to make sure we don't put a stumbling block in the pathway of our brothers. That's what the Bible says. So we are to judge ourselves, not somebody else. Because the devil is the only accuser of the brethren. And if we allow him, he will get us to do his work for him. It's time for us to wake up. And that's what James is saying here, trying to get the church back on the right track. Because we do many things religiously, but God is not interested in religion. There is no life in religion. There is no power in religion. There is no God in religion. And I want to submit to us all, even here this morning, that Christianity as a religion is not of God. God never set up religion. Religion is man-made. God sent Christ, the Savior, into the world, and Christ says to us in John chapter 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. He's talking about relationship. not religion. Relationship. In other words, you should have my nature in you if you are connected with me, because you are receiving of me and you should be showing me everywhere you go. That's why we have to wake up. The branches produce after the kind of the vine. They don't produce of their own. They have to receive the nourishment from the vine and produce exactly the fruit of the vine that they are connected to. That's why if we really are honest with ourselves, we can examine ourselves whether we are really walking in the ways of Christ or walking in the flesh. It's so easy. You don't need a prophet to tell you. If you just be honest with yourself and search, just stop a few moments and ponder, my ways, are they the ways of Christ? If Jesus were to be in this situation, what would he do? That's all. And the Holy Spirit in me will reveal the truth to me, because I want to know the truth. He will bring scriptures back to my memory. He will say, remember that person that hurt you, that you've not been able to forgive for so long? Remember that you are a Christian? Remember that when Jesus was on the cross, he was praying that, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So if you want to be like Christ, that's what you should be doing. Or he might just remind you of what Bible says in Acts chapter 7, verse 60. I love that verse of scripture so much, because, you know, some of us, when we are talking about Christ, we say, well, it was because Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, you know. But Bible talks about a man like you and me called Stephen. They were stoning him to death. But Bible says in verse 60, he knelt down and prayed for those who were stoning him, and said, Father, do not lay their sin. You see, he knew that what they were doing was wrong. They were sinning against God and sinning against him in stoning him to death. But he said, Father, do not lay this sin to their charge. Isn't that wonderful? And Bible says, after having said that, you see, that was a sweet prayer. He just fell asleep. God just took him. Just took his spirit, because it was so pleasing to God at that point. That's the way of God. Every time we walk in the ways of God, the Spirit of God is so pleased within us, because it bears witness with our spirit to help us know that we are children of God. And God will reward us so mightily for every act of obedience that we show toward him while we are here on earth. There is eternal reward for us all. Now, again, James says, from whence? In other words, where is this coming from? Where is all these ways of the flesh? Let's just summarize it that way. Because the word translated wars there actually literally means conflict. Where is all this conflict coming from? The strife, the quarrelings. Because we are God's people. It's not talking about the world, because that's what we find in the world. But now it's talking to Christians. Where are these things coming from? In other words, there are strange things amongst the people of God. The strife, the quarrelings, and all the conflicts, the fightings, the ways of the flesh. Now it's helping us to understand the origin. He said, come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members. In other words, look inwards, not outward. The problem is inside you, not outside of you. So instead of blaming others, look inwards and blame yourself. That's a hard lesson to learn for many of us, Because we are so used to blaming others. We never stop to search within us to see whether actually we are the ones opening the door to the enemy. And until we learn to do that, God himself can't help us. Because God never violates his word. And he never violates his ways. When you get home, I'll encourage you to really study this passage very closely. But we are going to glean out some truth here this morning and take home. So please get your pen and paper ready. So James, again by the Spirit, is helping the church to realize that all the ways of the flesh that they were walking in was coming from inside of them, not from outside. And this is consistent with what Jesus himself taught us in the Holy Scriptures. Remember how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 that it is not, if you read from verse 11, please write that down so that when you get home, you study it. Just read from verse 11 downwards. Because Jesus was teaching his disciples. Now he's not teaching the world, he's teaching his followers. And he's telling them they need to understand. They need to hear, listen to what he's teaching them and understand it. And he's telling them that it is not what comes in to a man through the mouth that defiles the man, but what goes out of the mouth of the man. That's what defiles the man. And then it goes on, and then finally it says that actually it is from the heart that all these evil things proceed from. The murderings, the envies, the strife, and all the ways of the flesh, they come from within the man, Jesus said. And those are the things that defile the man. And that's what James is teaching us here. All the problems that we have in terms of walking in the ways of the flesh, they come from inside of us. And so we have to understand that, not from outside. So the devil is really not to blame. We are the ones giving him the place. You see, since the devil went in the Garden of Eden and corrupted man because man gave him the place to start with, we have to understand there is nothing new under the heaven. If Adam had not chosen, you see, he chose. It's not that he didn't know what he was doing. He chose to disobey God. He chose to agree with the devil's version of things. And in the process, Bible says he lost the garden. The devil stole from Adam what God gave to him. And it's the same thing today. He's out to steal from us, steal our health, steal our peace, steal our joy, steal our well-being, steal everything that we have if we give him place. But thank God, we can shut the door in his face in simple ways and not complicate things. Some of us think that the only way we can shut the door in the devil's face is to hold all night prayer. But I'm about to show you in the Bible in a few moments from now that that's not going to drive the devil away one bit. You can go to night vigil every day throughout the year and still be bound. Because that's not what Bible says will drive the devil away from you. Oh, let's just pray. That's all we need. Let's just pray. We are going to bind the devil. We'll bind him. We'll bind him. Well, if you understand the ways of God, just by you taking the step of obedience binds the devil instantly. Because it's the spirit of disobedience. It cannot operate anymore. But while you are in disobedience and you are binding the devil is laughing at you in the corner because he already bound you. How can you bind him when he has already bound you? How did you get into the disobedience? See, that's where we are getting things wrong. And that's what James is addressing here by the Spirit of God. So he's saying literally all these ways of the flesh and things like that, they are coming from the inside of us, within us, not outside of us. The Amplified Version puts it this way, from your bodily members. From you. Do a self-search. Verse 2 says, you lust and have not, you kill. Oh, someone says, oh, that's not talking to the church. Oh, the church, people in the church don't kill. How many people know that many Christians kill every day? The word translated kill there literally means to murder. Turn with me, put your finger there. You see that many of us kill every day. We murder every day without even knowing. Then we say, oh, I'm not a murderer. Oh, that's not talking to the church, because people in the church, they don't kill. They don't murder anybody. They are just nice people. They just go their own way. Oh, they don't do this. Oh, they don't do that. Oh, they don't do this. But you know, my Bible tells me something else. Turn with me quickly to chapter 3, 1 John. 1 John chapter 3, and let us read together verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. Again, remember that this epistle of John is written to the church, not to unbelievers. Verse 15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's serious. That is serious. Because John took time to teach about the love of God and teach about us walking in that love. Because that's where God himself is. He tells us that God himself is love. And this is the only way we pass from death to life, because of the love of God. God brought us life because he loved the world and gave his son. And now that we are a people that belong on the side of God, we ought to be walking in the nature of God. But if we are not walking in that nature, then we are returning back to bondage, to death. Because it was love that brought us life. And that's why he's saying, if in my heart I hate you, it doesn't matter what you've done wrong or right, if I hate you for any reason, whether I feel justified or not, in the sight of God, I cannot be justified. If I hate you, I'm a murderer. God looks from heaven and says, hey, you are a murderer. And you cannot be part of me, because no murderer gets in here. You know, Jesus also, if we study what he taught us in Matthew chapter 18, it concludes the very last verse in Matthew chapter 18, you know, talking about unforgiveness. He used the parable of the servant that owed the master. The master forgave him his small debt. Then that servant had another servant who owed him, and he wouldn't forgive. And Jesus said, well, it's the same way God will treat every one of us who don't forgive his fellow brethren their trespasses from the heart. Again, it's from inside of us. In other words, if we don't forgive others, we are not going to heaven. I don't care how much we speak in tongues, we go to hell. So don't let the devil fool you and make you miss your eternal abode by telling you it doesn't matter what you do as a Christian. If you die in unforgiveness for any reason, you may even be justified in your own sight. It's the people that wrong you that are really, really wrong, 100%. You've not done anything wrong, but you hold them in unforgiveness and die, you go to hell straight. Jesus himself said so. You can't get crash heaven by disobeying the word of God. No. You only go through the door. Jesus is the door. And obedience is the only way you go through him. Because he himself said, why do you call me master, master, and you don't do the things that I've commanded you? He that obeys my word is the one that loves me, Jesus himself said. I can say, oh, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, no, you don't love me because you are walking in disobedience. So James, again, go back there. James chapter 4. So verse 2 again says, you lost and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. Please underline in your Bible, you ask not. That is the first thing we want to see here in relation to what is going on the inside of us. You know, some of us get so overwhelmed by circumstances, challenges we go through in life, and also the wrongs that we have suffered from other people. We just dwell on those things to the point that we don't even pray. We just stay all day meditating on our troubles. As Bible says, we even sometimes sit up late in the night eating the bread of sorrows. We don't pray. And yet we want changes. It's not going to happen. See what James is saying? So that's the number one problem we have when we begin to focus on the wrong things. We get distracted to the point that we don't pray. And if we don't pray, how are we going to get help from God? You have to ask in order to receive. You have to seek in order to find. You have to knock before you can get the door open. So that's the number one thing James is teaching us here. And then the second thing is that we pray and we don't receive answer, because we pray amiss to consume on our lust. In other words, we are still in the flesh mode when we are praying. And so we don't get answer. So we pray, we don't get answer. So I can pray through the night, have night vigil every day for the whole year, and still not get answer from God because I'm praying with fleshly motives. Now, those two things that James is teaching us violate the word of God. That's why we can't get results. I'm overwhelmed with problems, overwhelmed with people who have wronged me. So I'm not praying, no change. Well, I'm praying, but I'm praying from a selfish motive, no result. Turn with me quickly to these two scriptures, and then I'll just dictate a couple of points, then you can take them home and meditate. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. You see, the reason why James is teaching us this, the Holy Spirit is consistent. God is very consistent. It's not the author of confusion. If we are confused, it is because we have not searched the scriptures to find out the truth. God never confuses anybody. This Bible, it's a perfect book. In fact, the Bible describes it as the perfect law of liberty. You can't find any error in this book. If anybody tells you that there is an error here, that's the spirit of the devil speaking through that person. This book is so perfect. If you study it and you allow the Holy Spirit to open your understanding, you realize the counsel of God. You know the ways of God. And you won't fall into the traps of the enemy. Because the devil is there, Bible says, going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He won't get you to devour, because the truth you know will make you free. You can pick him from afar before he gets close enough. You can sense him. Even when he's speaking through people, you discern that he is the one speaking. He won't get you. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's read together quickly from verse 24 to 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What's Paul saying here by the Spirit? He's helping us to understand the ways of God by understanding the athletic ways that we all know in the world. You know, when people compete in races, they don't just compete for competing sake. They compete to win. But in order to win, they have to obey the rules of the game. That's what he's saying here. Nobody is crowned or given medal if they violate the rule while they were running. For instance, if you leave your own track and you run on somebody else's track, you may even be the first to cross the line. You are disqualified because you did not run on your own track. You've left your track and you are running on somebody else's track. So you have to discipline yourself in order to ensure that you don't just run for running's sake, but you run to win. That's having a focus. And he said, even in fighting, you don't just punch the hair here and there. You have a focus. In other words, as Christians, everything you do, you have to do with a clear understanding of focus. Because you'll be disqualified if you don't do it according to the rules. So that's to tell us that God has rules for us to keep in everything we do, even as Christians, including prayer. That's where we are going this morning. Prayer has rules. If you don't obey the rules of prayer, you'll be disqualified. Now you begin to see how the devil sets trap for many of us. He can't get us directly. He tries to get us indirectly by getting us to violate the rules of God. Remember, even in Babylon, how did they set the people to try to stop Daniel? He said, oh, this Daniel is a man that loves God. We can't get him except at the word of God himself. So they went to the king and told the king to make a law to ban anybody from worshiping anyone else apart from the idol that the king set in. Because they knew that Daniel was a man of prayer. So that whenever he prays to God, they can use that to catch him. So the devil just tries to catch us at the word of God. That's all. Number two, let's quickly turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, we see the same thing here. This is talking to the church, not to unbelievers. So there are rules. It does matter what we do as Christians. Don't say grace covers it. No, grace does not cover our disobedience. Grace is there to help us to obey God. Bible says the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust in this present world. We are to leave the ways that are not godly behind. That's what grace has come to help us do. Not to leave us in ungodly ways and just cover it. No. It's you and I that will need to shake ourselves up and wake up and choose not to go in the ways that are ungodly, so that we can walk in the ways of God and not violate godly rules in our lives on a daily basis. So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, but let's just pick verses 4 and 5 together. Let's go. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Please underline that in your Bible. If you violate the law, you lose. You break the rules, you lose. If you break the rules of prayer, you lose. God will not even hear you one bit. All right, so get your pen and paper and write this down as we close. And please, when you get home, meditate in these things. Oh, this is very important for us. There is no point wasting our time on a daily basis as Christians and allowing the devil to rob us. God wants the best for every one of us. That's why he brought us his word to live by. So let us live by the truth and walk in the best that God has for us on a daily basis. Write this down, please. In every situation, our focus should be on praying aright. In other words, praying in the right way, praying according to godly instruction. And please continue that by saying, otherwise, we will easily fall into the trap of the flesh and open the door to the devil and suffer unnecessary losses. See, the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. When we open the door to him, it will make us suffer a loss. That's just the way it works. So we must ensure we don't allow the flesh to rule us, because the flesh always opens the door to the devil. Please write the scriptures down in front of that. John chapter 6 verse 63. We all know what is there. Jesus himself said the flesh profits nothing. So when you are in the flesh, you can't profit anything. It is the spirit that gives life. So you have to walk in the spirit if you want to profit. Once you get in the flesh, you lose. So say to your neighbor, when you walk in the flesh, you lose. Amen. In addition to that, Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, the same thing we find there in that passage of scripture, helping us to understand that the only way to really profit is to walk in the spirit. Because when we are in the flesh, when we are carnally minded, we are actually walking against God. We are not submitting to the ways of God. And also, thirdly, Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Their Bible teaches us clearly the works of the flesh. And in verse 21, it says that those who do those things that are listed there, including murder, which is hatred for the brother, have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. In other words, they cannot partake of the things of the kingdom when they are walking in the flesh. So you want help from God, you have to walk in the spirit. Don't violate his word. And then make this statement next. And before you make the statement, write this scripture. That's the second statement. Write this scripture. Luke chapter 18 verses 9 to 14. And when you get home, study it very well. Because there is somebody that Jesus said in a parable who came into the house of God to pray. He looked at himself, self-righteous person. And then not only did he think he was self-righteous, he looked down on others. See the problem? When you begin to judge others, you've fallen away from Christ. It's as simple as that. But many of us don't realize that. We think we have the right to judge people. No, you don't. Nobody has right to judge anybody. No, you don't. If you can't pray for them, just keep your mouth shut. Because God himself is not judging anybody before the time, Bible says. That's why he makes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. So why would you then take it upon yourself to even be above God? You see, it's the devil that sets the trap through the flesh and say, you know, they are not doing the right thing. Oh, that person is bad. That person is bad. Oh, that person in the church is not doing the right thing. That was what the Pharisee came to do. He beat his chest. Righteous. I do all this. And he listed all his good deeds. Then he saw the sinner in the temple. Said, I thank God I'm not like that sinner there. You know, Jesus said the prayer of that Pharisee was not heard by God, because it violated the rule of God. You see, when you violate the rules of God, you don't get any profit from God. You lose. On the other hand, the sinner came to the same house of God. He couldn't look up. He just bowed his head down because his conscience was pricked. And he said, forgive me, O God, the sinner. That's all he could say in prayer. Short sentence. But the Pharisee prayed a long prayer. We don't even know how long he spent in praying. But we know the sinner's prayer was so short. It didn't take 1 minute. But that one got answer from God, because he prayed according to the rules. That's why we have to be careful. Now, make this statement. The key to successfully praying aright is to examine yourself. Please write the word yourself in capital, not to examine other people. Because that Pharisee was examining somebody else in the house of God, and God didn't hear his prayer. Is to examine yourself in the light of the word of God and choose to believe and act accordingly in obedience and prayerful submission to God. So what am I saying? What I'm saying here is that the only way you can be sure that you are praying without breaking the rule of God is to examine yourself in the light of the word of God, because the word of God is the light. That's what will show you your own faults, not other people's faults. Stop using the word of God to find other people's faults. That's the devil's job. It's the accuser of the brethren. The word of God is to show you your own fault, so that you can make adjustment to your own life. And then you can pray for others. Like Jesus said, when you have removed the log in your eyes, you see clearly. Because without the removing the log in your eyes, your vision is obscured. So you are seeing wrongly, looking at the fault of others, whereas your own fault is bigger than that. So you should examine yourself in the light of the word of God and make a personal choice to believe the word and act upon it in obedience and prayerful submission to God. To say, God, this is what you said. That's what I'm going to do. In front of that, please write this down. I'm going to give you one scripture for us to help us all. And then the other ones, and then just read them when you get home. Psalm 109 verse 4. I love this because David is a man after God's heart. David said in Psalm 109 verse 4, for my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself to prayer. Isn't that wonderful? You know how we've all been through it. You do people good. You even love them. Sometimes you go out of your way to really please them. But with all that, they still are your enemies. And you wonder, but I've done everything. I've not done anything wrong to, but they are still against me. Why? You know, some of us would have gone to punch the daylight out of them. But not David. He said, I'll give myself to prayer. So David is doing the same thing that Jesus did on the cross. David is doing the same thing that Stephen did in the book of Acts, being stoned to death. He's still praying. So instead of you focusing on what they did wrong, focusing on how they are hurting you, because that's what the devil wants you to do, so that you can be in the flesh and then the devil can come in and rob you. You shut the door in his face and say, well, I don't care. I don't care how much they've wronged me. All I care about is obeying God. Didn't God say I should pray for those who despitefully use me? Didn't God say I should bless my enemy and not curse them? Didn't Jesus himself teach it when he came here on earth? So how come I'm not doing that? And yet I want to pray and ask God to help me. God says, no, I can't help you because you are violating the rules of prayer. You obey my rules and then you get result. And now please write the scriptures and look at them. All of them give us rules about prayer that Jesus Christ himself, the head of the church, taught us. I deliberately picked these scriptures because the head of the church himself taught it. So we are not learning from even the apostle now. We are learning from the master himself. And there is no better teacher than the master himself. Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15. Mark chapter 11, verses 24 and 26. They are all scriptures that you know already, but meditate in them again, because there is no point violating the law of God, and yet we say we are praying. God is not hearing, he's not listening. It's like the children of Israel in Isaiah 58, they are fasting, they are praying, but God is not listening, and so they are wondering, how come? And God sends Isaiah to them to tell them the things they are doing wrong. They are full of their ways. They are walking in the flesh. And yet they say they are fasting and praying. God said he's not going to listen to them that way. Let them change their ways. Let them begin to do the ways of the Spirit. And then their prayers will be heard. Their health will spring forth speedily. Light will show up for them in darkness. Everything will turn around for good for them. That's what God wants for us all. Right where we are seated, let's turn our hearts to the Lord. You see, it doesn't matter what your need may be here this morning. If you don't violate the word of God in prayer, the need will be met faster than you realize. Because Bible says before we call, God will answer us. And while we are yet speaking, he will hear. Jesus said the Father knows the things that we have need of even before we ask him. And it is the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. But you see, it's these little foxes that spoil the vine. These areas that James addresses, they are the things that the enemy capitalizes on to rob us. Just gets us in the flesh, speaks to us and gets us to focus on the circumstances instead of focusing on God. And we end up disobeying the word of God and missing out on God's best for us. As you turn your heart to the Lord, I want you to remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 139. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, if there are wicked ways in me, I can't get help from God. That's what he's saying. Help me see if there are ways of wickedness in me. Strife in me, like James said. Fightings in me. Conflict in me. Root of bitterness in me. Unforgiveness in me. If those things are in me, oh Lord, I get rid of them. I get rid of them. So one-on-one with the Lord. Because none of us can hide from God. God knows us better than we know ourselves. We may hide from man, but we can't hide from God. So that's why one-on-one with the Lord is the best place for us to really change. Because we can come honestly with an honest heart and say, Lord, my ways are not your ways. Oh Lord, I have broken your rules. And I break them so often. Oh, I'm always criticizing others. Always blaming others. Always judging others. Always finding fault with others. Always having unforgiveness towards people. Always, oh God, have mercy on me, forgive me. That's all it takes. It doesn't take 1 minute to pray that prayer of repentance. It's simply a question of having a change of heart. God loves us. He wants us to return to him with all our hearts. If we are sincere And we simply say, God, I'm sorry for all those ways. Oh, I turned my back on those ways. I'm not going those ways anymore. Because I see that those are the ways that the enemy uses to entrap me and to rob me of the best you want me to have in my life. So my focus should not be on my circumstances. My focus should not be on any other person or whatsoever anyone else has done against me. My focus should be on God to make sure that I work out my own salvation and I obey God in my own life. Once you have done that, I want you now to pray and ask God to help you with your need. As you do that, I want you to turn to 1 John, right where you are seated, and pray to God one-on-one. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Just use that to pray to God one-on-one. You know your need. I may not know them, but your Father in heaven has the supply for you. And if you come to Him with a heart that is pure, a heart that is clean, and a heart that is free from all the things that James was talking about, even before you finish asking, God will say, here it is, take it. You won't even need to pray 1 minute prayer before you get help from God. Because the heart is what God looks at first. Man looks at outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. The place God is looking at is the heart. Not even our mouth or the words we are framing in prayer. You know, sometimes we try to get the right words in prayer. No, that's not what matters. Get the right heart in prayer. And the words won't matter anymore. Hannah came to the temple early in the morning. She could not even find words to express herself in prayer, but she had a heart. With all the provocation in the house, she did not go fighting the other woman in the house. She came to God, carried the burden, like we heard the song this morning. She brought the burden to God. She became the mother of Samuel, one of the greatest prophets in Israel. She could have decided to walk in the flesh, fighting the woman in the home and saying, who are you to this day, to be mocking me? Hey, because I don't have child and you have child, and today I'm going to kill you. Like James says, just kill. And yet you want God to bless you. She didn't even hate the woman. She just took the sorrow to God in prayer. That's the way of God. Just focus on God. Forget about what others are doing. It's not your business what others are doing anyway. God will judge everybody based on what they do. You focus on God and make sure you do the right thing. And so go ahead and pray then and ask Him to help you. Because Bible says right there, if our hearts don't condemn us from verse 20, then that's when we have confidence toward God. And verse 21. That's what gives us confidence toward God. And we know that whatsoever we ask Him, we are receiving that of Him because we love Him and we do the things that please Him. Now you talk to God and say, Father, my heart is pure. My heart is clean. You said if my heart does not condemn me, then I have confidence toward you. And so I'm asking you in confidence in the name of Jesus to help me with this need in my life. Name the need and roll it upon the Lord. That's all it takes. And then when you have done that, thank Him for the help you receive. It's by faith you receive. I tell you, you will see the hand of God more than you ever thought was possible. Because that's the way God works. If you don't violate His rules, is there to help you at all times. He's very present to help us even in trouble. It is our ways of disobedience that hinder Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Lift your hands to Him and thank Him for the help. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice. Whatsoever need they have in their lives right now. that they have brought before you. Spiritual need, emotional need, physical need, material need, financial need, family need, business need, career need, every form of need that pertains to life and godliness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we stand in agreement on the basis of your holy written word. We thank you that our hearts are purged of all dead works. As your Holy Spirit has thrown the searchlight upon us to get rid of everything that is not in line with your will, so that we don't violate your word in prayer. No strife, no conflict, no fightings, no murders in us, no hatred, no unforgiveness. And therefore, with hearts that are pure and hands that are cleansed, we ask you to help everyone at all points of need. And we thank you for the help, because we know that it is your pleasure to give the kingdom to us as your children. No good thing will you withhold from them that walk uprightly. For your eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show yourself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward you. And so we thank you for the ministration of divine help to everyone here today and all our fellow brethren in this church, wherever they may be. Thank you for turnaround in situations, for your glory, for the fullness of the joy of every one of us. For in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. God bless you all. So go home and meditate on what we have shared today and live by it on a daily basis. It's time for the church of Jesus to begin to possess our possession. We are not going to allow the devil to rob us anymore by getting us to walk in the flesh. We will walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. God bless you all. In Jesus' name.